I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1 reads this way. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And this is our text verse here, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for your presence and the privilege you've given to us to call upon you. Lord, we thank you that it is your will to build your church. And so, Lord, we ask that you bless us, that you fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might truly understand your will for our lives, and Lord, how you've empowered us to truly be the light of the world. And so bless us this morning, Lord, with your word. Bless your people. And Lord, that you might be honored and glorified. And if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them and help them to see their need of trusting you as their personal Savior. Again, Lord, bless your word, bless your people, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is a little lengthy but important, and that is found there in verse 9, filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I want you to think about something. Everything God asks from a believer's life is reasonable, and the reason why is because he has made the provision for it in our salvation. God has not asked the believer to do anything that he has not provided the provision necessary to accomplish what he's asking us to do. Never will you pick up in the Bible, never will you pick up in the Word of God or in the mind of God that it's his will for you to do it on your own. But it is always not by our strength, but by God's strength. And God has to bring us to that understanding because we have a stubborn old nature. Amen? Yes. And it is. It's stubborn. So really, the only question for the believer is, are we asking God to bring us into this provision that he's provided for us? It's not automatic. It's something that we have to ask God to give us personally. It wasn't automatic for Peter, was it? The Lord said, okay, that when you're converted, then you will strengthen the brethren. When you're converted from relying on yourself, then you will be able to be empowered by the grace of God to be a blessing and building up the saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to call upon the Lord in order that we might honor and glorify and understand what God is doing for us and not live defeated lives. We need to be careful about that. We should not accept a defeated life. God called us to be a holy people. Again, why? Because he gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, was the atonement for our sins, was it not? But the resurrection is the new life. And so don't miss out on the resurrection life because you're saved and because you have the grace of God to give you eternal life. A lot of believers have parked it right there. That's it. I got eternal life. That's all that matters. In one sense, that is the important first step, but that is not all that matters because God intends to glorify himself through the life of every believer, not just the pastor, not just some, but every believer. Don't be impressed what other people are experiencing from the Lord. Expect the same in your own personal life. That's what will set, maybe today we would call that revival, amen? God setting our hearts and our souls on fire for him.
Now, I just want to remind you of something here concerning a defeated life. Let me ask you this question again. Do you believe the Word of God? Amen. Is there a difference to trusting the Word of God? There is a difference. We can believe the Word of God, and if you're saved, you do believe the Word of God, but also be reminded, James tells us, the devils believe in God too, but they tremble. May that not be the account of the believer. So let me remind you of the hot air balloon illustration. We can say we believe in a hot air balloon, that it can carry us up, but when do we place our trust, or when do we place our faith in that hot air balloon? When we get inside of it. Never. My wife said, never. I will never trust a balloon. I don't blame you. I may have done that in my younger years. I don't think I'll trust one either. But when we trust the Lord, it's when we prove Him in our own personal life. When we get into what He is calling on us and expecting Him to pilot our ship. Amen. And to guide us into all of these truths. So this morning, we want to take a notice of six steps or truths that will bring us into this relationship and how God works in the life of the believer. First of all, we'll take a brief look at saints and faithful brethren. Then we'll take a notice of a declared faith. And then the results of God's knowledge, and that's what He brings into our life and spiritual understanding, and the exaltation and power of Christ, and the understanding and purpose in revealing God's power to us. He reveals to us, shows us the power of God, and the last thought will be the mighty working of God in His people. So let's look at this introduction here concerning saints and faithful brethren. This is who he's speaking to here, the believers at Colossae. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. It was God's will. Did Paul say, you know what, I'm going to be an apostle for the Lord Jesus Christ before he knew the Lord? He had no clue what God was getting ready to do with him and for him and through him. Amen? Listen, the same way, even after salvation, you know what he did? He simply said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Immediately, he recognized the authority of God in his own personal life. He didn't say, well, listen, Lord, I've got my plans and I'll see you next week. He didn't say that. What would you have me to do? So prerequisite, really, to following God is an important question for the believer to ask God for himself. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Lord, what would you have me do? You can't say I'm walking in the will of God. I know the will of God. If you've not asked personally to the Lord, what would you have me to do, God? What is it that you want me to do? You saved me for your purpose, for your glory. What is that, Lord, that you want me to do? And so we find verse 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren, faithfulness is important as well. Lord, faithful to what? Faithful to call upon the Lord. Faithful to seek Him. How do you call upon the Lord? Well, can you pray in your car? Yes, you can pray in your car. Can you pray at church? Yes, you can pray at church. But how about, Lord, you are important enough for me to set aside some time, don't put a time limit on it, some time every day and meet with the Lord at that time every day, because you're important, Lord. I want to meet with you and call upon you. I need you, God, to guide me, or I'll not be faithful to you, Lord, unless you show me how that works. So, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You know what they're excited about? The work that God is doing at Colossae in the lives of these believers. So these are the saints and the faithful brethren. Then notice this declared faith. Look at verse 4. Since we heard of your what? Let's look at their faith. Let's consider their faith and what this is all about. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. You didn't just pick some. This is the work of God. This is what God said. Listen, by the love that you have one toward another, Jesus told the disciples before he went to the cross, is how everybody's going to know that you belong to me. By the love that you have for the saints and your care for them. Notice verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth what? So there's fruit involved in our lives, right? And he's talking to all the believers. He's not just talking to the pastor. He's not talking to the deacons. He's talking to the brethren, amen, to all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, it's come to you in the world. It bringeth forth fruit, as it does also where? In you, amen? As it does also in you. Well, listen, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So listen, we can say, oh, we know all about the grace of God. It has to be in truth. It has to be in God's truth. Amen? In his word. And so we find this declared faith here. Continues on verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, this is a dear fellow servant of theirs, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So here's this minister Epaphras, and he's saying, listen, I want you to know God's working in their lives. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So there, listen, this is a church that is on fire for God. Listen, I want to remind you, because I know that you know this, that God's intention for every church is to be on fire for God. Amen? That's his concern. Please, don't get distracted from being on fire from God. It's important. We can get busy here and there and forget that God wants to set you, amen, on fire, his child, for him. And so may we not discard that and say, well, we need to do this. And if we're doing this, we're all right. No. Are you on fire? Has God set you on fire for him? Not setting yourself on fire, not kind of encouraging yourself, but God doing something in your life that is exciting you, amen, that you're seeing his victory and his work. I'm convinced a lot of believers do things for God because they love him. Some believers love the Lord, have tried to do things for him, and have given up because they just fail and fail and fail and fail. And the problem why we fail, because I'm sure we have all failed, is because we are trying out of love. It may be the right motive, but it's the wrong mode to do it in our strength. And so God says, oh, no, listen, that's why I rose from the dead. To give you my resurrection power, see? And so if we believe that, then we're going to seek him in that to fulfill it in our own personal lives. So here's the question this morning. Do you believe, I know you believe in salvation, if you're saved, I know you believe that Jesus paid the price, but do you believe in the Lord's resurrection power? Amen. All right? And that's important. Now, do you trust the Lord's resurrection power? See, that's different. You got to get inside Christ. You got to call upon him to do it and watch what he will do and amaze us as believers in him. All right? So here we find this declared faith. And now we want to take notice, number 3, of the results of God's knowledge, will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. This is the results, right? We talked about the title was filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But now we want to consider the results here. And we're going to see this in verses 9 through 14 of God's knowledge, will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. So he says, verse 9, for this cause we also, for what cause? Because of your testimony of salvation, because of your relationship with God, we also, since the day we heard it, this testimony of yours, do not cease to pray for you. It's something else now, because we hear what God's doing in your life and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So why is Paul praying this for them? Because they need this, amen? And he wants them to have this. Now, he didn't say they weren't saved. He didn't say that there wasn't a work already taking place. He's saying he wants them to live and walk in this continual understanding, wisdom, and knowledge that only comes from God. And so likewise also, we need to consider our own lives, and are we meeting with success in understanding God's will and walking in it by his power and his grace? Are we experiencing victory, or are we experiencing defeat? That's an important question. And if we're experiencing defeat, the reason is there's a problem. There's a problem. Now let me ask you this question. Is the problem with us or with God? Is the problem with us or with God? It's always us. It's always us. And so there's no problem with God. So, Lord, I'm bringing this to you because I have a problem. I know it's me. And so, Lord, I'm calling upon you to fix my problem, my understanding, right? This knowledge that he wants me to have. Because he wants us, notice again, verse 9 at the bottom there, filled with the knowledge, at the last part there, of his will in all wisdom, not most, not some, and spiritual understanding. God wants us to have his spiritual understanding, not ours. Not ours. See, we can approach it intellectually. Well, I understand it. Well, more important than understanding it is God working it in your life and mine. See, we can understand something and miss the working of God in our lives and live a defeated life. And a life that is overcome with sin and things that God wants to root out that he's paid for. Amen? That's the resurrected life. I didn't say you didn't have salvation. I didn't even say you don't love the Lord. I cannot believe that every child of God, of course they're saved, right? If you're a child of God, doesn't love God. But that does not mean that we're living the resurrected life. And when I say that we're living, that God is not manifesting his power in life through our lives, all right? So, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's the criteria. See, well, I think I'm living the resurrected life. Oh, no, throw that away. God doesn't want us to think. He wants us to hear and to receive what he is saying. See, because that's how we decide whether or not God is working or not working. And if God's not working in us, it's not God's problem, it's ours. We already settled that, right? All right, so verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God said that. You and I didn't say it. That's not our idea. That's God's. That's his plan. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Listen, being fruitful in some good works when you feel like it. When you toss the coin and it lands on heads that you called it, right? No. That we might be fruitful in every good work. And notice, increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, that's how that works. You can sit through a math class and understand very little, or you can sit through a math class and the light bulbs keep going off. Which one would you rather? Would you rather struggle and fail, or would you rather understand and succeed? And so God is wanting us to understand so that the light bulb, he turns it on, by the way, and we can see him working in our lives. And so he says, verse 10 again, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to who? His glorious power unto all patience and loving and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, I want to remind you, the Apostle Paul is writing this epistle, this letter. Did Paul suffer for the cause of Christ? Did Paul ever write from a prison to encourage the believers in the joy of the Lord? Well, how did Paul do that? Because he was just so wonderful. Or was it because of his God that was working in his life? Do you know that we have the same God? Do you know that we've been given the same grace as Paul? Do you know it is the same will that God glorify himself in your life and mine as he glorified himself in the Apostle Paul? That's his will. But see, here's the thing. If it's not taking place, we need to bring that before the Lord to show us his way, not what we think. But listen, we have to just keep knocking on the door to give us the understanding. So many times as you look through the life of Peter, as he walked with the Lord on this side of eternity, he kept failing the Lord. He had some victories. He saw something. Listen, he was a dedicated individual to the Lord. He forsook all and followed him. I mean, man, he did some things that were pretty commendable. But God says, oh, listen, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of men. So God was working. Listen, do you think the Lord ever said, Lord, Peter, when you're determined enough, you're going to get it right? Do you think the Lord intended for Peter to get it right? No, he said, when you're converted, who was doing the converting work? Absolutely. You know, he's the same one that will do the converting work in our lives as well. So, notice verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Paul is saying this to the believers at Colossae. He says, I want you to know that you are the one that is to inherit the blessings and be partakers with the saints of light. The same thing that Paul had. By the way, the same thing that Epaphras had. The same thing that God wants every believer to have. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Is it in past tense? It's not in the future. It's already been done. He has delivered us. Amen? And so are we walking in that deliverance? That's the resurrection life again. See, the only reason why the church is powerless is because there's no resurrection life. I didn't say salvation. Salvation is where it all starts, but where is the resurrection life? We can get busy over here, we can get busy doing this, we can get busy doing that, but nothing will happen to the glory of God until the resurrection life of Christ is in the life of his people. That's what we ought to be seeking. We can get busy doing this, that will not be long lasting. It won't last long. God wants to give us what is long, and by the way, everlasting in our lives. And so notice again, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So he's saying we have this salvation that he's given to us. And so we're considering here the results of God's knowledge, will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Notice here now the exaltation and power of Christ. And there's a reason why God is going to tell us something about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Notice this in verse 15. Speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. By the way, if you look at verse 13, he's talking about the kingdom of his dear Son. And he's still talking about his Son in whom we have redemption in verse 14, even the forgiveness of sin, right? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Then he says more about the Lord, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Question, is Christ important in the heart and mind of God, the Father? Okay, listen. For by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created. In case you want to know who the creating force was, it was all the work of the Trinity, the triune God. But he wants you to know that this was the creating element here. It was created by him. This is amazing. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Who? Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Who might have the preeminence? Jesus Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You want to know where the full life is found? Where? Jesus Christ. It's found in him. He's saying this to the believers. This is how we understand. Now watch this. So he's telling us there's something extremely preeminent before all things in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what might that be? Well, let's look at this. Verse 20. And here we find the understanding and purpose in revealing God's power, the power of his Son, to us. Ready? Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Whose cross? Jesus' cross. So he's wanting us to get a good picture. He's wanting to give us knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Jesus Christ is the creating force. Amen? He is the one that God chose, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit chose to exalt. Is that not, did you read that? Did you see that as I see it? All right. Now he's saying, because he's in you, Now he's saying, look, watch verse 20. And having made peace through his blood. Listen, we have been brought into this exalted one, this preeminent one. How did you get brought into the Lord Jesus Christ? Any good works that you've done? It was only by the grace and love of God that he received us. So watch this. And having made peace through his blood on the cross, verse 20, by him to reconcile some things. Most things. How many things? Does that mean you and I? Are we part of his creation? Okay, all right. So now let's consider this. Again, reconcile all things unto himself. How? By your power? How? By him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And who's he talking to? You. Did you see that in verse 21? And you. Hey, praise God. He's talking to us. Amen? That he is wanting us, he's wanting to give us more knowledge concerning his will in all wisdom. And that's God wanting to give us understanding. Do you know why God wants to give us understanding? Do you think it was because he didn't have anything else better to do? Or do you think it's because he wanted us to understand what he knows? Isn't that amazing? And that we might benefit from it. All right? So, notice again, in verse 21, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, how? By wicked works. Sometimes. That means it's in the past. If we're living defeated lives, we don't know the Lord like we should. I didn't say you weren't saved. But I want you to know something. Do you remember when Jesus Christ, you have heard it said he was quoting the Old Testament? But he says, but I say unto you. Remember when the Lord said that? Listen, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But the Lord says, but I say unto you, for a man to look upon a woman and lust in his heart, he's committed adultery with her already. Where? In his heart. And you've heard it, thou shalt not murder. But I say unto you, for a brother to be angry, and I'm paraphrasing this, with his brother, he's committed murder already. Where? In his heart. So he's saying, I want you to know the Old Testament, and I want you to know the New Testament is higher. So let me ask you a question. Did God call the Old Testament saints because they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, his righteousness? So listen, when God's people walked in unbelief, did God wink his eye, or did he judge his people? Did he call them to be holy because he was holy? Absolutely he did. So let me ask you a question. What do you think the mentality and the attitude of the New Testament believer today might be? Well, I'm just saved by the grace of God, so it doesn't matter. I can accept all that. I mean, after all, I just can't do it. We cannot, listen, God says, listen, I'm going to judge the world, but guess where I'm going to begin? Where? With his people. So listen, and God's not asking us to clean up our act. He's asking us to call upon him to give us his life and to give us understanding on how his life works in us. God does not intend us to just say, to just wink at sin. He says, he still says, be holy because he's holy. Does he not? See, but believers have maybe misunderstood, and by the way, as they have always. Did Abraham misunderstand on how Isaac was to be born, him and Sarah? Yeah, absolutely. And other saints of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be brought. Now some others, and then this is the way it works. Some people get it on day one, like Paul, like Daniel. It just appears like they got it once. Some people, it takes 10 years. 10 years. Some people, it takes 20 years. Some people, it takes 30 years. Don't feel bad. I'm in the 30-year group. Some people take 40, and that's only because I've not been alive maybe as long as some others. Amen? But praise God that no matter when it happens, that it does happen, and God can begin to glorify himself in our lives even today. But you can't get busy looking over here and excusing this and excusing that, because God says there is no excuse. I've given you my son. There's no excuse. I have provided for you all that you need. You don't need patience. You don't need kindness. You don't need gentleness. Lord, make me gentle. Make me kind. You don't know what you need other than this, his son. Because in Christ, you get it all. You get everything that you need. All right? So look at verse 22. In the body of his flesh, yet now hath he reconciled. How? Verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death, listen to this, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. When you get there, you are because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be no fault. You will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because of God's work in you. Now, this is the question. Will every saint hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Not if they've not tapped into the resurrected life. But I want you to know it's God's will and purpose that we all stand right before him because of the work that he's doing for us right here and right now. And just for clarification, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about God's deliverance in our lives to deliver us from failing God, to deliver us from our power to his power. But see, we've got to believe that and then pursue it by faith. And that interchange that word with trust God. Amen? Faith in God means I trust God to perform that which he's promised in my life. It's not a fiction. It's not a fairy tale. It's God's word. Amen? All right. So notice verse 23. If you continue in the faith. So remember why he said made all this big about who Jesus is. Because he's the Redeemer. He's your Redeemer. Listen, if your Redeemer did all these things, can he not make us holy? Would we be so foolish to believe God can just save me and that's it? God can't deliver me? Listen, that's what kept the Israelites out of the promised land. Oh, but you don't know my giants. Well, that will cause you to dishonor God. And you'll be wandering out in the wilderness, and that's not God's plan. That's our plan. Our plan will keep us in the wilderness. God's plan brings us into the promised land. Amen. So here's the question. What do you want? Do you want God's plan and purpose? Or do you want to wander out? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And how do you take that simplicity? Start calling on the Lord. Lord, I need you to show me what real prayer is all about. Teach me to pray. Bring me into your presence. Show me, Lord, your almighty grace in my life. So he says, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the what? That means trust, doesn't it? If you continue trusting him. See, some people can trust the Lord for salvation, but they don't trust God for anything else. Oh, I can trust that you can save me. Oh, but you can't. You cannot purify me. You can't deliver me. Really? I mean, you might not. You're probably here, I told you 30 years. It's not that I didn't believe God couldn't do it. I just didn't understand he wanted to do it. And that it was his job to do it. I thought it was mine. Because I loved him. So he says, if you continue in the faith or trusting him, how? Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Not our hope of our strength, the hope of his truth, of his good news, that he's going to do it, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, listen to this, am made a minister. You know what he's saying? I would have never changed my own life unless God did it all. He says, I want you to know this that you have, that made me a minister. You remember the persecutor? That changed my direction 180 degrees. Not just veered off path a little bit. Paul was not just a little bit wrong. He was completely wrong. So are we. And especially, we are really wrong if we think God will never do that in our lives. We are really wrong if we say, I don't believe that. you have no faith in God, no trust. And I've been there. I didn't say you didn't love the Lord. I believe, like I said, every child of God loves the Lord. But we're not putting our faith and trust in Him to do His work. Last thought. The mighty working of God in His people. We begin here with the mighty working of God in Paul, and then the last verses we'll look at the mighty working of God in us. So let's consider verses 24 and 25. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that, this is what God's doing in him, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You know what he said? I count it a blessing and an honor because God is working in me. Now listen, this does not make sense to the natural man that God has enabled me to suffer for him. And how suffer? How to suffer? With his joy and his peace. And how suffer? Listen, to encourage other believers also by writing them letters in prison after being mistreated and abused and left for dead. That's the power of God, he's saying. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for who? For us, for you. To do what? To fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. If you're saved, you're a saint. And by the way, never in the Bible do you find it to pray to saints. Saints are to pray to God. Amen? And there's no special place in the eyes of all the saints of God's saints. Other than just being a servant of the Lord. And here's the last thought. The mighty working of God in us. Ready? Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known, listen to this, what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of whose glory? God's glory. And Paul says, whom we preach, warning every man. Don't miss this. He's warning. Which he's not warning the lost people. He's warning his people. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, every child of God, how? Perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto, listen to this, I also labor, striving, pursuing God, according to whose working? Which worketh in me mightily. Do you know that's how God wants to work in our lives today? I didn't say that. It's not my. I would have never come up with this. I want you to know that. That's God's word. Do you believe it? Here's another. You know the next question. Do you trust it? That's different. You can believe it and do nothing with it. If you trust it, you pursue it. And how do you pursue it? Might be a good question to ask. I'm going to give you the answer. I hope you'll like it. Ask God for you. Ask God to show you. Just like he showed you his salvation, he will show you his resurrection life. We are talking about the resurrection this time of the year. Amen? God wants his power, his resurrection power, to enjoy. Lord, show me how to enjoy you. Listen, when we are filled with his power, do you think you'll know it? Do you think David, when he fought Goliath, do you think he was a little bit excited about it? Do you think he was a little bit a matter of fact about it? What, do you think he was a little bit assured of how the outcome was going to take place? Do you know God wants to give us all that? We could be assured of the victory in our lives because of God's great faithfulness. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you've given to us in our salvation. You've redeemed us You've given to us eternal life by your death, burial on the cross, and the shedding of your blood. But you've also given to us, by your resurrection life and power. You said greater things would your disciples do. And Lord, the greatest things that we could do, that you can do through us, is to honor and glorify you and be a holy people. Lord, bless again, Lord, your word and your people. And if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, allow them to realize we cannot do it ourselves. You have paid the complete price. In fact, we can't even touch your work or we will mar it. It's not you plus us. It's you alone or not at all. And so, Lord, bring that truth to understanding. And the same way we got saved is the same way that you will glorify yourself in our lives. It's not us in you. It's you alone. Again, Lord, bless the invitation, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.